We're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. The line begins V'hashta. 18 lines from the bottom. Okay, so we discussed yesterday the point of that you have mitzvahs about which the Torah says that they apply v'chol moshev seicha, I mean all the places where you settle, and we had a machlokas whether that means anywhere in the world, or whether it means only after the Jewish people conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael. One thing in that regard we mention is Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, consider Shabbos where it says Moshe Seichem, and we know Shabbos applies anywhere in the world. And Rabbi Shmuel had answered that, first of all, we said there's two things. First of all, Rabbi Shmuel is primarily talking about only where it says Kisavoyu and Eretz Moshe Seichem, whereas by Shabbos it doesn't say Kisavoyu. And second of all, anyway, that Shabbos, we can learn from a Kal V'chomer that it should apply anywhere in the world. So now we have to ask, well, so if we're saying that a chovas haguf, that a mitzvah that's applicable to a yid's body as opposed to one that's tied to the soil, applies either in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, Moshev d'kasei rachmana gabe Shabbos lamali, then why does it say Moshev seichem by Shabbos? If we just said before that whether Moshev seichem, so if Moshev seichem means anywhere that means only after you settle Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos applies anywhere, so why does it even say the word Moshe Seichem in the first place? So the answer is Itzrich, we need it. Sakadachamina, given that this pasuk Moshe Seichem says in context of the Moedos, so we learned yesterday that Rashi had said it was the pasuk Loisavaru Esh Moshe Seichem, but Tosfos objected that pasuk doesn't say in connection with the Moedos. Rather, Tosfos explains we refer to the pasuk in Parshas Emor Shabbos Yilah Hashem B'chol Moshe Seichem. So since it says, in any case, Rashi might infer that it means, I don't mean that the actual pasuk says in connection with the Moedos, I just mean that Shabbos itself is mentioned in connection with the other Moedos in Parshas Emor. So since it says it in connection with the other Moedos, Tiboy Kiddush Ki Moedos, maybe Shabbos should have to be sanctified by Beis Din like the way that Yom Tov is, meaning how is a certain day Rosh Hashanah and a certain day Sukkot and so on and so forth, is because Beis Din determined when Rosh Chodesh should be based on Edim, and they said Mekudesh, and therefore the first day of a certain month is Rosh Hashanah, and the 10th of it is Yom Kippur, and the 15th is Sukkot, and so forth. So maybe Shabbos should be the same kind of thing as well. Maybe Beis Din on Sunday should have to say Hayom Yom Rishon, Hayom Yom Rishon, and then when it comes Shabbos, they should have to say Mekudesh Shabbos or something. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore it says B'chol Moshev Seichem, teaching us that Shabbos is Kaddish no matter where you are, and no matter whether there's a Beis Din or not. Fine. So now the Gemara goes through a couple of other mitzvahs also where it says Moshev Seichem. Moshev d'kasei rachmana gabi chelev v'dam lamali. What about when it says in the Torah about not eating chelev and not eating blood? It says that also applies chukas olam d'derecheichem b'chol Moshev Seichem. So again, what is Kol Moshev Seichem for? That's also a chovas haguf, and it applies anywhere in the world. And the answer is Itzrich. You need it. Because it says that in context of korbanos. After it talks about bringing the chelev from various korbanos, about the chelev of a korban shlamim, how you offer what constitutes the chelev, what is offered on the mizbeach, then it says don't eat chelev and dam. So therefore you would think bisman de ikka korban nitzah chelev and dam bisman de lek korban loy, maybe chelev and dam are also only when there's korbanos but not when there's not. Kamash malon, therefore the word b'chol moshev seichem teaches us that it applies anywhere in the world you live. Okay, another one. Moshev d'kasei rachmana gavim matzah u'maror lamali. What about the Torah says b'chol moshev seichem toiklu matzahs? Now by maror it doesn't actually say the word moshev seichem, So a couple of the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ritva, say, you know, it's a common thing. Whenever we mention matzah, we often mention maror. So therefore, the Gemara is mentioning that, even though, strictly speaking, it doesn't say Moshe v'seichem by maror. Not only that, but actually the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that in any case, the mitzvah d'oraisa of eating maror applies only when there's a korban Pesach. Where here we're going to say that there's something that applies anywhere in the world and at all times. So that would have to be specifically matzah. Anyway. So why does it say Moshe v'seichem by matzah, lomali? And the answer is, it's true, you need it. Because by the Pesach Sheni, it says you eat it together with matzah and maror. So you would think, so maybe the concept of eating matzah and of maror, fine. Maybe the concept of matzah also applies only when there's a korban Pesach. Kamash Malon, therefore, but with the word Moshe Seichem, we need to be told that it applies anywhere, that it applies in all places and at all times. In fact, Tosfos points out that there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says exactly that, that Moshe Seichem is l'koyve choyve bizman hazeh, but Tosfos says that there is another Tana who learns it instead from Ba'er of Teichlu Matzahs, where it says a separate thing to eat matzah without mentioning it in the context of the Korban Pesach. So therefore, that's another source to show that you need to eat matzah even if there's no Korban Pesach. And in fact, there are Rishonim. Who teach out more explicitly. Tosfos mentions the two psukim. There are other Rishonim, the Ramban and others, who learn that we need two psukim. One to teach us that you do it in Chutz La'aretz when there was a Bis Mikdash. You shouldn't think maybe only the Jews who are coming to Yerushalayim to eat the Korban Pesach, but to bring and eat the Korban Pesach have to eat matzah. And the other one is telling us that it applies even when the Bis Mikdash is destroyed. So that's why it says Moshe v'seichem by matzah. Okay. Now here's another one. Bia d'kasev rachmana gabit tefillin of petach hamor lomali. Now we mentioned yesterday tefillin and petach hamor are examples of mitzvahs that are not tluyas baretz. So even though the Torah introduces them with v'hoyaki v'yacha, nevertheless they apply anywhere in the world. So what is this? Why did it say v'hoyaki v'yacha on them? The answer is we use that to learn what it says in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, which says asay mitzvazu shebishvila tikonis la'aretz. It means do these mitzvahs, then the schus of them, Moshe is telling the Jewish people, you will have the schus therefore to go into Eretz Yisrael because of that. Means that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you will do these mitzvahs. So do these mitzvahs even now before you come into Eretz Yisrael, and in the schus of that you'll come into, and in the schus of that you'll come into Eretz Yisrael.
That's how it can be
done. Yeah. In fact, we talked yesterday about the fact that they didn't bring the Korban Pesach all the years in the desert, except for 1 year. So one point is because again you have the same thing. You could dash in the same way. You could say that by the Korban Pesach as well. It would mean asay mitzvazusha b'shvilot tekanes la'aretz. So in principle, they should have been chayiv all the years, except they couldn't in the desert because they didn't mal their children because there was no north wind, etc. And that we said yesterday is b'gnusan show Yisrael that there's a gnai. There's something shameful about the fact that the Jewish people ended up spending 40 years in the desert during the Korban Pesach.
And Moshe was there with them.
Moshe was there with them, yeah. And like we said yesterday, the Rebbe points out that the same way as the Tmeim said Lomani Gora and they got Korban Pesach and they got Pesach Sheni, the same way everybody else could have said Lomani Gora and they would have gotten that they might have gotten that Hashem would have told them to bring the Korban Pesach all the other years.
Yeah,
that too. Okay. Anyway. So that's why it's, but anyway, that's as far as the Korban Pesach. You could say that, but here the Gemara is saying as far as Tefillin and Petach Hamor, that is why it says that. Okay, so now the Gemara says Now, according to the opinion, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that we are Seichem, it means anywhere in the world you live. And we said yesterday, the point is that Chodosh, therefore, according to him, applies anywhere in the world, which we said yesterday was also the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So according to him, that explains why you have, when the Jewish people first came into Eretz Yisrael, the Psukim described in Sefer Yehoshua, we read this as after on the first day Pesach, they ate from the grain of the land on the day after Pesach. So we're meant to understand over here that Pesach itself means the first day of Yom Tov. Therefore, it would be the next day, Tesh Zayin Nisan. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, "Mimachras haPesach ochol meikra loyochol." So they were only able to eat the grain of Eretz Yisrael on the 16th of Nisan, not any earlier. Alma akruv omer v'hadur ochol. So obviously, therefore, they had to bring the korban omer, and only then they could eat. Because until then, the grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael, and that grain, after all, had been grown by goyim. They only entered Eretz Yisrael. They only crossed the Yarden 5 days earlier, 6 days earlier on Yud Nisan. So then you would have to say they brought the omer, and only then they ate. But if you say like Rabbi Shmuel that chodosh applies only after they conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael, so why do they need to wait? Necho la'alter, let them eat the chodosh right away. So before we answer the question, though, one interesting thing, Tosfos brings a question from Rav Avraham Evan Ezra, the famous Mefarish, the Evan Ezra. He had a very interesting life, by the way. He was born in Spain. He lived the first half of his life there. Then, at some point, when he was in his 40s, he started wandering around most of the Jewish world. It seems he had a family tragedy, a son of his Shmadzich. Nobody knows for sure whether the son did it voluntarily or was forced. Whatever the case, it was a tremendous tragedy for the Evan Ezra. From then on, he was wandering. So at one point, he wound up in northern France, and he struck up a friendship with Rabbeinu Tam. So you have here and another place in Tosfos, it mentions him. It was actually very, very cute, actually. They had Rabbeinu Tam, the Evan Ezra, among his many accomplishments, was a paitan. He wrote a number of piyutim, primarily Sfardim, say them, but you have a couple of the Zmiris that the Welt says on Shabbos come from him as well. One begins Kieshmer Shabbos that was written by him anyway. So at one point, Rabbeinu Tam sent him a sample of some of his piyutim. And the Evan Ezra didn't really care much for it at all. He felt that only the Sfardim know how to write good piyutim, and he wrote something to that effect. He wrote like a couple of verses saying, like, you know, what is a Frenchman, the Rabbeinu Tam, doing in the house of song? So Rabbeinu Tam wasn't offended or anything. Yeah, he writes back a nice poem saying basically, I'm a slave of Avraham, meaning I realize that you're much greater than me. And the Evan Ezra in turn sends back another poem to Rabbeinu Tam saying something like, so, what are you telling me? You, Rabbeinu Tam, are going to have to bow down in honor to me? Chas v'shalom. How could it be that Avraham is going to bow down to Bilam? Like he's comparing himself as though, like, I'm no better than Bilam. So they had a good friendship over there. Anyway, so now in Tosfos, the Evan Ezra asks Rabbeinu Tam, what do you mean Mimachras HaPesach means the 16th of Nisan? In the Torah, whenever it says Pesach means the Korban Pesach. For example, it says Mimachrat HaPesach Yotzei Bnei Yisrael B'Yad Rama. What does that mean? They brought the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim on the 14th of Nisan. Then they left Mitzrayim on the 15th. So Mimachrat HaPesach would be the 15th before the Korban Omer is brought. So what are you telling me here in the Gemara that it means they brought the Omer on the 16th of Nisan and only then they ate? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that, yes, you're right. Mimachras HaPesach here does mean the 15th of Nisan. What the Gemara is saying is we have to break up the Pasuk into two. Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz, they ate from the grain of Eretz Yisrael, but not yet chodosh. They're eating from the old stored up grain that they bought from Goyim. You had Goyim over there who had stored up grain in their granaries from the previous year, and Jews bought that grain from them and ate it. And then Matzis v'kolui be'etzem ayim azeh, and then on be'etzem ayim azeh, the next day, the 16th of Nisan, where it says on it be'etzem ayim azeh, is when you bring mentions the mitzvah, bring the korban omer and parashas emor, it mentions that etzem ayim azeh, you can't eat chodosh. So be'etzem ayim azeh, they ate matzis v'kolui, they ate matzis and other toasted grain from the chodosh after they brought the korban omer. So you could still say, therefore, that mimachras haPesach means the 15th. Then Tosfos gives another answer. Tosfos says Loshen Torah l'chod v'Loshen Neviim l'chod. It's true that in Torah terminology, Mimachras HaPesach, it's true that in Chumash's terminology, Pesach means the 14th, and Mimachras HaPesach means the 15th. But here we're quoting a pasuk from Neviim, and Neviim already can use a different style, where Pesach means means the Yom Tov of Pesach, and Mimachras HaPesach means the 16th. So you don't have to break up the pasuk.
According to him, it's not so we're saying
on the face of it, chodosh the mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. According to Rabbi Akiva, it applies anywhere. So according to him, we understand why they could only eat from it after they brought the korban omer. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, why do they have to wait until after they bring the korban omer? Why couldn't they eat it right away? according to him, the din of chadash applies according to him. Moshe v'seichem means only la'acha yerusha v'yeshiva, after they conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael. So it's going to take years to do that anyway. So why do they have to start keeping the mitzvah of chadash right now? Tosfos also brings from the Yerushalmi that what happened to Esav Doicha Loisaseh, why can't they eat matzah from Chodosh and the Esav eating matzah will be Doicha the Loisaseh of Chodosh? So now, Bala Baktish, you could answer that where you have an alternative, then you don't. And they could buy other grain. But the Yerushalmi brings two other answers. One is that an Esav to eat matzah, which was given before Matan Torah, is not Doicha the Loisaseh that takes place after the Torah was given. Which is an interesting answer because we don't, the Bavli doesn't seem to agree with that concept. We have, for example, it talks about Mila is Doicha Tzaras, even though Mila was given before Matan Torah also. Anyway, then another answer it gives, it's true. In theory, they could have eaten the first Kezias out of Matzah from Chodosh, but what if they eat a second Kezias as well? Then they're not being Yotze the Mitzvah. They're not being Yotze the Mitzvah because you only need one Kezias to fulfill the Mitzvah, and they'd be over on the Issur Chodosh.
Oh, it's only doicha when you have to.
Okay. Anyway, so the question is again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Chodosh only took effect after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, so why 5 days, 6 days after they came into Eretz Yisrael, are they still not able to eat Chodosh yet? The answer is Lo Tzrichi. They didn't need it. The pasuk says the Jewish people ate the man for 40 years ad boyim al eretz neshavas until they came to a settled land. As a man ochel ad boyim al tzei eretz Kanaan, they ate the man until they came to the edge of Eretz Kanaan. Now, what does that mean? On the face of it, those are contradictory because tzei eretz Kanaan implies the edge. Already implies while they're in Aris Moav, then they're not eating the man anymore before they even cross the Yarden. As opposed to Eretz Neshavas would imply, Eretz Neshavas would be Rashi explains that Eretz Neshavas would be the land of Sichon and would be only after El Tzei Eretz Kanaan rather would be when they're in the land of Sichon and Og before they've crossed the Yarden. Eretz Neshavas would be the actual land of Eretz Kanaan itself across the Yarden. Then Tosfos gives another possibility the other way around. Eretz Neshavas could be the land of Sichon and Og, as opposed to, in other words, you're coming from the desert, you finally get to a settled land, therefore it's called Eretz Neshavas. Eretz Kanaan then would be the actual Eretz Kanaan on the west side of the Yarden. Whatever the case, what is it? When did they stop eating the man? When they're in Avra Yarden, or only when they crossed over the Yarden? So the two parts of the pasuk seem to contradict each other. In fact, Tosfos points out you have the pasuk in Yeshua over there where it talks about that they started eating the grain of Eretz Yisrael and they had no more man. So you see clearly that up till then they had man, but the Gemara wants to bring a proof from a pasuk in Chumash. But in this pasuk in Chumash, you seem to have a contradiction. When did the man stop? So, Hakeitzad, what does this mean? B'shiva ba'adar mes Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the 7th of Adar. Or pasuk man related. At that point, the man stopped falling. They continued to use the man that they had stored up in their kelim until the 16th of Nisan. Usually, of course, you're not allowed to leave the man overnight. It would spoil. But here, there was a special thing where Hashem allowed them to keep man for several weeks from Zayin Adar until Tes Zayin Nisan. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is saying the reason the pasuk is stressing that they only started eating chodosh on Tes Zayin Nisan, not because they couldn't eat chodosh until then. According to him, the din of chodosh is going to only start applying years later. But because up until that point, they had man. And even though Mephoshim explained, even though we find a few times in the Midbar the Jewish people complained about the man the last time, or the Nafshenu Kotz of Alechem Akloigo, now they actually developed a taste for it. They finally developed a taste for it, and now they didn't want to give it up so easily. So as long as they have man, they didn't want to start eating the grain of Eretz Yisrael.
But they would have been.
So the Eibishter made that they have it until Tzayin Nissen, and then it ran out.
Is there any way to see what they were told to collect and save?
So it doesn't say specifically in the pasuk, but evidently that's the idea. To begin with, the mon came only in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, I guess we're meant to understand that. I guess Hashem must have told them through Yeshua, or maybe they figured it out themselves. I don't know that once Moshe has passed away, then that din of Ishal Yosef Menuad Boker doesn't apply anymore. So yeah. Anyway, so that's what it means. Therefore, so that's how we reconcile the two parts of the pasuk. That they ate ad boyam al eretz neshavas until they actually came into the land of Eretz Yisrael. But it's a mon ochel ad boyam al tzeretz Knan. But they ate from fresh mon that had just fallen only until they reached the edge of Eretz Knan, named the land of Sichon and Og. There, in the land of Sichon and Og, Moshe passed away, and there they had no more fresh mon.
Well, that's what the Sivai, where it could be the settling was years later.
So that's the thing. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, they could have continued to eat. They could have eaten Chodosh all those 14 years after they first came into Eretz Yisrael. Just once they ran out of man, then okay, then that year. So the pasuk is not saying that throughout those 14 years they didn't eat Chodosh. It's saying that year, since they had man until Tesayin Nissen, and by then on Tesayin anyway, they brought the Korban Omer, then in practice at that point, Chodosh doesn't apply anyway because all the grain now becomes Yashan. Okay, Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa how we know, here's another way of showing. So now we talked about what happened at the end when the mon stopped falling. Now let's go back to the beginning of when the mon started falling. The pasuk is of Nei Yisrael Ochos Amon Aboim Shana. They ate mon for 40 years. The question is, V'chi Aboim Shana Ochu? Did they actually eat for 40 complete years? V'alei Aboim Shana Chosu Shloshim Yoim Ochu? It was actually 40 years minus 30 days because when did the mon start falling? 1 month after they left Mitzrayim. So the pasuk describes they left Elim, they came to Midbar Sin, and there they complained that we don't have any food and all that, and Hashem tells them hinini mam to lachem lachem in Hashemayim, and the first time the mon started falling was on Tes Zayin Ir. So and when did they stop eating it? We just said Tes Zayin Nissen 40 years later. So you're missing 30 days. Agav, there is a different explanation that places the beginning of the month a couple of days later on Yud Ches Ir, and there's an interesting explanation, I don't remember from who, that said, maybe from the Chassam Sofer, I don't remember, that says that's another thing we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. We usually think it's associated with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and with Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, but there's also an association that's when the month started falling. Anyway, in any case, so it's minus 30 days. So it teaches you Ugos Shetziyum Mitzrayim, the matzis they took out from Mitzrayim, they brought out Ugos matzis, Kilei Chometz, Tamu Bahem, Tam Mon, they tasted the taste of Mon in them, so they literally had something that tasted of Mon for 40 years from day to day, from Tesvov Nissen, when they left Mitzrayim, up all the way through Tesayin Nissen of 40 years later. Hashem prepared that for them, yeah. One point is, Mephoshim asked the question, I mean, why is the Gemara even asking the question? What happened, you know, Mitzvah Hashana Kekula and all that. So fine, so it's minus 30 days. Round it off. So he says, I think the Shittah Lo de la Mi gives an answer. He says that, yeah, but after all, then the Pasuk should have called it 41 years because Faker, because you should say it started in the first year when they left Mitzrayim. So you have the end until the end of that year, until Elul. Then you have another 39 complete years, and then you have a half a year from Tishrei until Nisan. So the Pasuk should mention something along the lines of, but they stopped eating it in the 41st year. So instead, therefore, it must mean that it actually means 40 complete years, and therefore, then we have to account for the missing 30 days. The Rashash goes into a little more detail over here. He points out that maybe the morning of Tesvav Nissen, they didn't yet have Tam Mon because they weren't yet on the road. Only from the night going into the 16th, they tasted Tam Mon. So therefore, you really have now when they stopped eating at Tesayin Nissen 40 years later, then you really have Miyom Miyom. Okay. Tanya Idach. Now we learn in another Braisa. We said before that Moshe passed away on Zayin Adar. How do we actually know that? It never says in the Pasuk. The only person in Torah where it says the exact day he passed away is Aaron HaKohen. It says he passed away Rosh Chodesh Av. So where do we know that Moshe passed away on Zayin Adar? So Tanya Idach, B'Shiva Ba'Adar Mes Moshe or B'Shiva Ba'Adar Noven. Moshe passed away on the 7th of Adar, and he had also been born on the 7th of Adar. So first, we're mentioning the Yom HaMisa, for one thing, because then Yehoyada explains, well, first of all, because the tzaddik, the Yom HaMisa, is in a way greater, Yolam Tzaddikim, Mimisosim, Yosim, Mechayayim, and also because we learn when Moshe passed away more clearly from the Psukim, as we're going to show now, whereas the fact that Moshe was born on that day, we know only from a Drasha. So therefore, there's a reason to mention his passing first. Anyway, Minayin Shiva Ba'Adar Mes, how do we find that Moshe passed away on Zayin Adar? So Moshe passed away. So then they cried after Moshe for 30 days in Avos Mayav. Then Hashem tells Yeshua, Moshe Abdi Meis Va'ata Kumavur, Moshe, my servant, has passed away. Now it's time to cross the Yarden. The point being, in other words, that Hashem didn't speak to him during those 30 days because they're in mourning for Moshe. And Ein Shechina Shorim, Mitoch Atzvus. So Hashem had to wait. So on the 30th day, fine, Mikta Sayyim Kukuloi, Tosfos points out. So now that brings us to the 7th of Nisan. It's the 30th day, Mikta Sayyim Kukuloi. So now Shloshim is over, and therefore Hashem can speak to Yoshua. Well, yeah, fine. But okay, anyway. A few psukim later, Yeshua tells the shoytrim to pass around, to circulate around through the machna. But sabosa omlemer and command the people, saying, "Hachinu lachem tzedek, prepare for yourselves provisions. Ki ba'od shloshes yamim tavros ha'yarden. In another 3 days, you're going to cross the Yarden, or atem ovim, is how it says it in the pasuk. So that makes another 3 days. Uchtiv va'om olam in ha'yarden, but also lachodesh harishin. And then it says they came out of the Yarden, they crossed the Yarden on the 10th day of the first month on Yud Nisan. So now you have to subtract 33 days from Yud Nisan, because you have 3 days from when he told the shoytrim to get the people ready for the crossing, and 30 days before that of the mourning for Moshe Rabbein. Tosfos points out that actually you might have to say over there, Ba'od Shloshes Yomim doesn't necessarily mean in another 3 days, meaning besides today. It can mean including today. So in that case, then wouldn't that come out? Then we have 1 day more. And Tosfos says, okay, you have to say, maybe it doesn't mean that in fact Hashem waited 30 complete days and spoke with him only on Ches Nisan. We're not going to say, like we said earlier, that Hashem spoke to him on Zion Nisan and then told him in another 3 days. We could say that instead that it means that could mean that Hashem spoke with him only on Ches Nisan, which was after 30 full days had passed since Moshe had passed away from Zion Adar through Zion Nisan, and then on Ches Nisan, Hashem speaks to him, and then he tells the people the Oid Shloshes Yamim, meaning not in another 3 full days, but on the 3rd day from today, Ches Tes Yud Nisan. So therefore, so it would come out that Moshe passed away. So Holamat Shabashiva Adar Mes Moshe. So you see that Moshe passed away on the 7th of Adar.
What was supposed to happen in on the 10th day?
So on the 10th day is when they crossed the Yarden. So since the pasuk tells us the date they crossed the Yarden, and we can figure out from the pesukim, you have 30 days, and you have the 3 days, then it comes out that Moshe had passed away on Zion Adar. It also means, by the way, before Shem on the pesukim point out that you have in between Perek Aleph where Hashem speaks to Yeshua and Yeshua speaks to the Shoytrim. Then you have Perek Gimel where they cross the Yarden. In between you have Perek Beis, the story with the two meraglim he sent to Yerichoy, and the pasuk says they have to hide out for 3 days before they return to Yeshua and company. Necessarily, you have to say that he sent them before the 30 days of mourning for Moshe were up, because otherwise there's no time. So therefore, it would have to be that he sent them maybe, you know, Hey Vav or Zion Nisan or something, and then they hid out for a couple of days, and then they rejoin the Jewish people, and then. Anyway, so that's how we learn that Moshe passed away on Zion Adar. In fact, there are other sources on that. There's Medrashim there's a Medrash that says that it was actually on Zion Shvat. There's another medrash that says it was Zion Adar Aleph, which wouldn't fit with anything that we're saying over here in the Gemara, because here the Gemara is saying we're learning it from the fact that it's 33 days before Yud Nisan. So obviously the Chachamim had a Kabbalah that it was on the 7th of some month, but which month it was, there's actually an argument about. In fact, it brings in Shulchan Aruch. You have there were Achasidim Vanche Maisa would fast on Moshe's Yortzeit. Do you do that in Adar Rishon or do you do it in Adar Sheni? Based on our Gemara, it would seem you have to do it in Adar Sheni, because it always has to be 33 days before Yud Nisan. But it mentions in Shulchan Aruch that actually you do it in Adar Rishon on the basis of other Midrashim that say that it was an Adar Rishon.
But those then already two others.
So yeah, of course, because Hashem already told Moshe to begin with Chodesh Hazalachem, Rosh Chodeshim, and that includes the fact that Nisan, that Pesach has to be in the spring, and that means you have to make an Ebru Yehar so often. So if we say that, yeah, that year was an Ebru Yehar. Okay. Uminayin shev shiva ba'adar nolad Moshe. Now, how do we know that Moshe was born on the seventh of Adar? Shenema vayomer aleihem ben meir ve'esim shana anochi hayoyim. He says to the people, beginning of Parshas Vayelach, I'm 120 years old today. Loi uchaloi lotzis v'lovay. I can't go in and I can't come out anymore, which Rashi says on the Pasuk means I can't go in and out in the mayonis shel Torah, in the wellsprings of Torah, because those were concealed from him in preparation for Yeshua taking over. So, she'en tamad leimah hayoyim. Now, why did he have to say the word hayoyim? Ma tamad leimah hayoyim. He could have just said, I'm 120 years old. Melamed she'akadosh baruch hu yoshev v'malah shnei seyim shel tzadikim miyoyim leyoyim mechodesh lechodesh. Hashem sits there, kav yochol, and fills in the days of tzadikim from day to day and from month to month, meaning that Hashem makes sure that they live a complete number of years, and also Marsha points out that also miyoyim leyoyim would be the same day of the month, and mechodesh lechodesh would be the same month. We have also the example, sometimes we have, for example, David HaMelech, where it's a particular day of the week also. So Hashem arranges that. Now, of course, it's not all most tzaddikim don't do that. What it means is that, for example, the Rebbe talked about by most tzaddikim, you have it behelim, you have, for example, by Moshe Rabbeinu, and another rare example by the mitzvah of the Rebbe, you have it begolui. By most of the tzaddikim, you have it more behelim. One time, for example, that ever talked about the Rambam was born Yudalud Nisid, and he passed away Chof Tevis. So the difference between those is 83 days, corresponding to the 83 books of the Rambam, the 83 halachas rather of the Rambam. The Mishnah Torah is divided into 14 svarim, and it's subdivided into 83 sections of halachas, Hilchos Yisodei Torah, Hilchos Deis, and so forth. So therefore, so that 83 corresponds, so to speak, Hashem was Mamale, the years of the Rambam, that he passed away 83, with 83 days left to go, where those 83 days are filled in by the 83 halachas. Anyway, the point is that, so therefore, if Moshe was born on Zayin Adar, we have to assume, if Moshe passed away on Zayin Adar, we have to understand that he was born on Zayin Adar too. Shenemas Mispo Yamecha Amale, as the Pasuk says, Hashem promises, I will fill up the number of your days. So therefore, that means, in other words, that Hashem plans it out that what day a tzaddik should pass away. And in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was begolui that he actually passed away on the day that he was born. In fact, Pnei Yeshua says you actually see there. That's why you have two drushes, Es Misper Yamecha Amale and Moshe Rabbeinu's Hayoim, because you could say Es Misper Yamecha Amale just means that Hashem decided in advance how many years a person is going to live. Not necessarily does that mean what day he's actually going to pass away. So then you have Moshe Rabbeinu's Hayoim, but from Hayoim itself, you can't learn. You could say that Moshe knows Benevor that he's going to pass away that day. How does that show by other tzaddikim? So Es Misper Yamecha Amale tells us that the same concept applies to other tzaddikim. So that's how we learn that Moshe was born and passed away on Zayin Adar. And so that's that. And again, so the reason why we got into all of this again is because we were asking about, so what happened? Why did they only start eating from the grain of Eretz Yisrael into Zayin Nissen? So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's because Chodesh already kicked in at that point. They can't eat the new grain of Eretz Yisrael until the 16th of Nissen. Therefore, until that point, they had to either eat matzah or old grain. According to Rabbi Shmuel, they could have eaten grain from Eretz Yisrael, new grain, even before that. But they had mon, so therefore they didn't need it. Okay, getting back to the mitzvahs at Tluyas Ba'aretz and which ones apply in Eretz Yisrael and which ones not. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Yechoyim, Sholosh mitzvahs that stavu Yisrael b'nisos on la'aretz. There are three mitzvahs that the Jewish people commanded that they start when they first come into Eretz Yisrael. V'noigus bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. And yet they apply both in Eretz Yisrael and outside it. And in fact, it's the logical that they should apply. They are Orla, Chodosh, and Kilayim. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai agrees with Rabbi Shmuel and agrees with the Tana Kama and agrees with, not with Rabbi Shmuel, with Rabbi Akiva and with Rabbi Eliezer, that Chodosh applies outside Eretz Yisrael too. So that's what we said in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer had said Afa Chodesh, and we ended up explaining that Rabbi Eliezer means not just Orla and Kilayim apply outside Eretz Yisrael, so does Chodesh. So now Rabbi Shimon agrees with that, and he's going to bring a proof, a logical proof for it. So like we talked about yesterday, you have a good deal of discussion whether the halacha is in fact like that, and if it does apply also to grain grown by Goyim. One thing that's broad in that regard, that a number of Rishonim bring the point, So yesterday we said, Tosfos had said, how do we drink beer that was brewed by Goyim when the barley could be Chodesh? So Tosfos says, because most of it is Yashan. There are Rishonim who point out, actually, that back in those days, the farmers in Europe were all Christian, and they all followed their religion very strictly, or at least they were supposed to. In particular, you have a period during their year when they fast and do other afflictions or whatever. It's called Lent, and during that time, they're not supposed to be planting. Usually, that takes place sometime during Shvat or Adar. So in that case, they have plenty of time before Pesach to plant their grain. But sometimes it happens that period ends very shortly before Pesach, and then there's not enough time to plant grain before Pesach. So don't you have a problem in those years that maybe the beer or the other grain that they grow is chadash because it doesn't take root before Tzayin Nissen? Then it's considered chodesh until the following year, Tzayin Nissen. And there's a good deal of discussion among Rishonim how to justify the practice of drinking their beer in that time, like we said, and then eating their grain and whatever. And like we said, you have opinions anyway. In particular, the Bach holds that the Chlal doesn't apply to grain grown by Goyim, even if we say it does apply outside Eretz Yisrael. So in that case, there's not an issue. Okay. So Rav Shimon Yochai says like this: you can show by logical proof that these mitzvahs should apply outside Eretz Yisrael. Uma chodosh sheni sura isur olam, ma de chodosh, where it's not an isur forever because it's only up till the 16th of Nisan. The ein isura isur hana, there's no isur hana for it. You're allowed to even feed the grain to an animal before the 16th of Nisan. You yourself are just not allowed to eat it. The yesh heter the isurai, and there's a heter for it, meaning you don't even have to wait until the end of the 16th of Nisan. If they bring the korban omer first thing in the morning on the 16th, then chodesh becomes mutter. And yet noyek ben ba'aretz ben mechutz la'aretz, yet it applies also in chutz la'aretz, because again he learns like Rabbi Akiva before that it applies as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael, and b'chol meshvei seicha means it applies anywhere in the world. So kilayim. So you have the opposite is true by Kilayim, in particular Kilay Akerim, we're going to talk about, where they're also forever. If you plant wheat together with grapevines, then both of them become also forever, and they're actually also Bahana. And there's no heter the isuran, because once you have kalaya kerem, there's no way to make it also. Again, unlike chodesh, where you can bring the korban omer and it becomes mutter. How much more so that it should apply both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz? And two of those three things can apply to Orla. Now, there's no isur olam, but there is an Isur Hanah, and there's no heter during those 3 years. It's not Isur Olam, again, in the sense that eventually, or the years of Orla are over, eventually the 3 years of Orla are up, and therefore, and now the fruit of this tree is mutter, but any fruit that grew during that time is also forever, and it's also Bahanah, so therefore, two out of those three things could apply to Orla as well. Now Tosfos points out so Rashi is explaining that the isurei isur olam means that there's a deadline for the isur, and yesh heter le isurei means there's a way of being matter even during that deadline. In the case of the omer, again, we're saying it's also up until the 16th of Nisan, and if you don't bring the omer, then it's also the entire day. Tosfos points out that would be according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, where the halacha is like him. Nowadays, because we don't have a beis mikdash, chodesh is also throughout the entire 16th of Nisan. It's only mutter the following morning, on the 17th, and outside Eretz Yisrael, we have Sfeika de Yoma, not till the morning of the 18th of Nisan. But you could be matter during that time if you bring the omer earlier in the morning on the 16th of Nisan. So that's how Rashi explains. Isura isur olam and heter the isuram. Tosfos has a problem with that for one thing, because what do you mean? The fact is, it's true that Orla, eventually the din of Orla is going to expire, but any fruit that grew during that 3 years is also forever. So how can you call it that Eini Sura Isur Orlam? So Tosfos says, first Tosfos says that maybe it doesn't mean Orla, maybe it means Neter Avai, where you could be Poydet. But until you're Poydet, then it's also Bahanah. Then Tosfos gives several other explanations. Among them are Yesh Heter Le'isura in the case of Kodosh, and in the case of Orla, would mean you're allowed to cause the issue. You're allowed to plant grain shortly before Pesach, and it's going to be Kodosh, and harvest it, and it'll be Kodosh, and you'll just have to stop, and you'll just have to not eat it up until Tesayin Nisan. You're allowed to plant a tree, even though it's going to be Orla during the first 3 years, whereas you're not allowed to plant Kalayakarim. So that's that. That would be a difference. On the other hand, Kilayah Kerem is when you the fourth year of a tree, the fruit of it has the Kedusha, similar to Maaser Sheni. So, you have to either bring it to your Shalayim and eat it there, or you have to redeem it for money and then bring the money to your Shalayim. Kilayah Kerem is you plant grain or vegetables near grapes. Kerem means vineyard, okay. Then there's other explanations. Tosfos brings another answer that the heter of Orla and of Chodesh depends on Beis Din. Orla is going to be osur until Chamisha also b'Shvat. Well, then, depending how Beis Din is mekadosh the Chodesh, if they make that one of the earlier months has 29 days instead of 30, then it comes out they're moving up the date when you'll be able to eat this food by one day. And the same thing with Chodesh, that if Beis Din makes Adar 29 days instead of 30, then the day to eat Chodesh will come one day earlier than it otherwise would have. Whereas when it comes to Kalayah Kerem, you have no such thing. Anyway, so you have a number of different explanations.
Kalayah comes day to day.
Because Kalayim is that's it. Once it's planted, it's also forever. There's no deadline for it. There's no dates involved.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So therefore, Sereb Shimon says, based on that Kavachomer, once we have where he holds, like Rabbi Eliezer, and like Rabbi Akiva, that Chodesh is also in Chutz Laaretz, then from that, he says, you can make a Kavachomer to say that Orla and Kilayim should also apply in Chutz Laaretz. Okay, the Braisa continues. Rabbi Lozer of Shimon Omer, Rabbi Lozer of Shimon disagrees and says, the rule will be any mitzvah that the Jewish people were told to keep before they enter Eretz Yisrael, namely any chovas aguf, any mitzvah that has nothing to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael, but is just applicable on you as a person, that applies anywhere in the world. But if they're told they only have to start doing it after they enter Eretz Yisrael, and that applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he says Orla and Orla applies only when you come into Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says Kisa Voyu Al Aretz. So Orla would not apply. So therefore, Orla, he says, would not apply outside Eretz Yisrael. And Chodesh also, since it says Kisa Voyu Al Aretz Moshe Veseichem. So he would hold more like Rabbi Shmuel that Chodesh and Orla don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael. Kalayim, he doesn't say one way or the other. Fine, maybe you could say Kalayim does, which we'll talk about further down on the Amud. We're going to talk about further down on the Amud. In fact, that Orla and Kalayim are also outside Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to see on what grounds. Anyway, continues Rabbi Lozer, but Rabbi Shimon, chutz min hashmatas ksofim v'shiluach avodim, with the exception of shmitas ksofim, that you have to cancel loans because of shmita, and shiluach avodim, the mitzvah that you have to free avodim when it comes yovel. Even though those are commanded to be kept only after they enter Eretz Yisrael, because only after they enter Eretz Yisrael, the shmita and yovel start. Nevertheless, those mitzvahs apply in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. So he would say, in other words, again, that Orla, that all these three that his father is mentioning that he's that Reb Shimon and Sen are also Daraisa, Chodosh, Orla, and Kalaya Kerem, Reb Shimon is saying, no, either they don't apply at all outside Eretz Yisrael, or if they do, then it's only from Halacha L'Moshe Sinai or from Divrei Sofrim, as we'll talk about further down on the Amud in the case of Orla and Kalaya Kerem. So the Gemara asks, why does he need to mention Hashmatas Ksofim? Hashmatas Ksofim, or we're going to have to ask about both of these. It's one though. What is Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon saying? Any mitzvah that starts only after they enter Eretz Yisrael, but that means only Chovas Karka, that means only things that are applicable to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Neither of the mitzvahs that he mentioned have anything to do with the land of Eretz Yisrael. So what's the chiddush that they apply? They apply to the person. So what's the chiddush that they apply in Chutz Laaretz? So that's the question. Hashmatas Ksofim Chovas Agufi. Isn't Hashmatas Ksofim Chovas Aguf? Shouldn't it be obvious, therefore, that it applies outside Eretz Yisrael? Why does he need to tell us that, why does he need to tell us it's an exception to his rule? So the answer is, lo nitzrucha elo l'chidatanya. We need it to teach us, we need it because of what it says in the following braisa. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, the pasuk is v'zed dvar ha-shmita shomay. This is the word, this is the matter of the shmita that everybody should forgive their loans. So what's the expression? Ha-shmita shomot v'shtei shmita sakos medaber. The pasuk thereby is talking about two different kinds of shmita. Achas shmita's karka v'achas shmita's ksopim. One is the shmita's karka, the abandoning the land and not working it and leaving it hefker for everybody to take the fruit for a whole year. And the other one is shmita's ksopim. So since the posik is putting them together, you learn there's a comparison. Bizman sha'atam shamat karka, atam shamat ksofim. Only when shmitas karka applies, only then does shmitas ksofim apply. Bizman sha'atam shamat karka, iatam shamat ksofim. When there's no shmitas karka, then there's also no shmitas ksofim. So therefore, so in fact, we learned in Gittin, we said that was, we discussed the question over there when we learned about the whole matter of Prusbel, whether nowadays, Shmitas Ksofim applies Daraisa, does it apply only Dirabanan? It's dependent on the question of whether Shmitas Kauka applies nowadays Daraisa or Dirabanan. Since we say that nowadays it applies only Dirabanan, then therefore Shmitas Ksofim is really only Dirabanan. That's why Hillel's Takana works. If Shmitas Ksofim was Daraisa, Hillel's Takana wouldn't be able to override, they wouldn't be able to override it. Ksofim means money, meaning the fact that you have to, if you lent somebody money and you don't write a Prusbel, then the loan is gone at the end of Shemitah. So, and you even have a Rishonim that say that from the beginning of Shemitah, you're not allowed to demand repayment of the loan. It's not lost yet, but you're not allowed to demand repayment, which is why we have the minhag to be the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch to make a Prusbel at the beginning of Shemitah and at the end of it in order to cover your bases. That's why we do it both. We do it Erev Rosh Hashanah of the year. For example, we did it Erev Rosh Hashanah of Toshin Pei Aleph and again of Erev Rosh Hashanah Toshin Pei Beis, because those were the beginning, the right before Shemitah and at the end of Shemitah, respectively.
When's the end?
The end is Erev Rosh Hashanah.
So
together with Hataras Adonim, we did it.
Always 2 years in a row.
Yeah, well, because you have Shemitah, you have the beginning and the end of Shemitah, yeah. Anyway, so the point is, so the point is, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon wants to tell us that, so that's the point. In other words, that since Shemitah's Karka applies only when they come into Eretz Yisrael, therefore Shemitah's Ksofim also does. Therefore, you would think that Shemitah's Ksofim doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon has to tell us that it's an exception. So the Gemara asks, maybe the comparison is the other way around. Maybe the aim of a mokum shat the mishamet karka at the mishamet subim. Maybe it doesn't refer to the time. Maybe it refers to the place. When in the place where the shmitas karka, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, there shmitas ksofim applies over mokum shein at the mishamet karka iat the mishamet subim. Maybe it means in the place in Eretz Yisrael where there's no outside Eretz Yisrael rather where there's no shmitas karka. Maybe there's no shmitas ksofim either. So how do you know that it's telling us? How do you know that it's telling us that that anywhere in the world Shmitas Ksofim applies when Shmitas Karka applies in Eretz Yisrael? Maybe it's limiting Shmitas Ksofim also only to Eretz Yisrael. And the answer is Talmud Lamed Kikora Shmita LaHashem. The pasuk continues in connection with Shmitas Ksofim. He has called the Shmita for Hashem Mikol Mokum. So therefore, that's a ribui that this Shmita applies anywhere in the world. So we have to understand that's only meaning a time-wise thing, that when it begins in Eretz Yisrael is when it begins in Chutz Laaretz as well. But once it begins in Eretz Yisrael, as long as it lasts in Eretz Yisrael, then it lasts in Chutz Laaretz as well. And again, since you have the machlokes, whether when it's not kol yeshveh aleha, does it still apply daraisa in Eretz Yisrael? Because of that, you have the machlokes about shmitas ksof and whether it applies daraisa as well. In any case, the point is that... In fact, the Shittah Lainoid Lami says, look, I mean, the fact is, we're not going to say the other way around. Maybe when there's Shemitah's Ksofim, then there's Shemitah's Karka, we're in a place where the Shemitah's Ksofim, then there's Shemitah's Karka, and when not, then, or at a time, rather, we're not going to say that. In other words, when there can be a time when there's no, where there maybe you could say, when there's no, maybe you could say, in other words, that maybe Meshamet Ksofim applies only in a place where you're Meshamet Karka. Maybe to begin with, we should say Shemitah Ksofim doesn't apply outside Eretz Yisrael. But the fact is, it's a Chovas Aguf. There's no reason to think that it depends specifically on being in Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos has a long discussion over here and learns the Gemara a little bit differently. That Like this, if we're saying Talmud Lomer Kikara Shemitah LaHashem is the answer, how Mikol Mokum means that's the answer that the Gemara is giving. That is how we know that Shemitah Ksofim applies in all places, even in Chutz La'aretz. Then the Gemara should have explained it instead of Talmud Lomer Kikara Shemitah LaHashem. Then the Gemara should have said it a little differently. It should have said Omak Pro Kikara Shemitah LaHashem. And there's a couple of other questions Tosfos asks. So they explain that the question is, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's chiddush? Given that Shemitah Ksofim is a chayvus haguf, why would we even think that it doesn't apply outside Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, because of the hekesh, you would think that maybe it doesn't. So the Gemara is saying, in other words, that because Rebbe has made this equation, you would think, therefore, that it should apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Talmud Lomer, therefore the pasuk comes to tell us that no, it applies outside Eretz Yisrael too. So according to that, then, in other words, so Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's chiddush is that you might have thought, because of the hekesh, that it shouldn't apply, and therefore we're saying it does. So now the Gemara says Tnan Hossam. Now we learn in a Mishnah. we learn in a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Orla. Chodosh Osim in a Torah b'chol makom. Chodosh is also from the Torah in every place. This Tana again holds like the Tana, like Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Akiva before, and like Rabbi Shimon, that it applies outside Eretz Yisrael. Orla Halacha. Orla applies outside Eretz Yisrael because of halacha, and we'll see in a second what kind of halacha. But kilayim medivrei sofrim, and kilayim is medivrei sofrim, is midrabon. So my halacha, when we say that orla is halacha, what halacha do we mean? Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel hilchos medina. It means the halachas of the country, meaning that Jews accepted that mitzvah on themselves outside Eretz Yisrael, and the Chachamim approved of that, and it became the case that you're also to eat orla outside Eretz Yisrael. And there's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim that Hilchus Medina can mean a Kavach Chomer. Like we said before, if Shimon learns it from a Kavach Chomer, we can say that it means a regular Din D'Rabbanan, whatever. Anyway, so that's what it means, Hilchus Medina. Ula Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it means it's one of those Halachas L'Moshe Misinai. That it applies outside Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos points out, Taka, why, according to that, why wouldn't we use Reb Shimon's Kavach Chomer from before? Because there's a way of schlugging up that Kavach Chomer, because other kinds of kilayim don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to learn tomorrow, and therefore the Kavach Chomer kind of would fall apart. Anyway, according to me, says Ula to Rabbi Yehuda, that I'm saying that halacha over here means halacha l'moshe misinai, then it's easy to understand. Hainu b'shanilon ben sofik orla v'sofik kilayim. Then that makes it easy to understand why there's a difference between when you have a sofik, whether something is orla, or you have a sofik, whether something is kilayim, whether it's mutter or not. Where you can have a sofik in a few ways, Rashi explains, you're not sure if 3 years have passed yet. Or you could have an orchard that has many different trees in it. Some are orla, some are not. And a goy picked some of the fruit. And you don't know what tree it came from. Would you be allowed to eat it or not? In the case of Suffolk orla, the Mishnah goes on to say that it's mutter outside Eretz Yisrael, but Suffolk kilayim is not. So ditznan. In that same Mishnah in orla, it says Suffolk orla be'eretz Yisrael be'oretz oser. If you have Suffolk Orla of either of those kinds, it would be also if it's in Eretz Yisrael, but Surya Mutter, in Surya, that kind of Suffolk would be Mutter. Surya are the lands that David conquered before he had conquered all of Eretz Yisrael proper, Somachol Paltin, Shalachole Kavashta. These are various areas in what's nowadays Syria and Iraq and Lebanon and whatever, and he annexed them to Eretz Yisrael, but they never became fully part of Eretz Yisrael because it was called Kibush Yochid. So some of the dinim of Eretz Yisrael apply in there, but not all of them. So in Syria, Suffolk Orla is Mutter, or B'chutz La'aretz Yored V'Lekeach. In Chutz La'aretz, it's even more so that a Yid can actually go into the orchard and buy from the Goy, so he can actually tell the Goy to pick for him. Over Vanshala, Yerenu Loiket, as long as he doesn't actually see the Goy picking from trees that are definitely also. So in other words, the idea would be that So there's a couple of different ways, of explaining. The Bach understands that to mean, in other words, that when you have any tree that's suffic orla, then you can't see the goy picking from it. If you see him picking from such a tree, you wouldn't be allowed to buy that fruit from him. But if you don't actually see him picking from the tree, even though you know there are trees in that orchard that are suffic orla, then you'd be allowed to buy from him. And the Chazon Ish learns that Rashi is saying even more so. He's saying even if you have a tree, you know a particular tree over there is you know that there's a particular tree in there that's Orla. As long as you don't see the goy picking from that particular tree, you don't watch him picking from that one, then you can then you don't know whether he picked from that one, and therefore all of them are suffic and there would be more. Anyway. So that's as far as Orla. So we see that there's a kula by Orla that it doesn't apply to a certain extent in Chutzlar. It does apply, but only if you actually see a goy picking from a tree which is known to be Orla. Whereas when it comes to kilayim, then it's much more serious. We learn in a Mishnah, we learn in that same Mishnah, Kerem anatur yerek, if you have a vineyard where there's vegetables planted, which is also as kilayakerem, the yerek nimka chutzaloi, and now the goyish owner of the vineyard is selling vegetables right outside the garden, and these are the same kind that are growing in the vineyard, so are they also or not? Again, but oretz also, and now it's Yisrael, such a thing would be also, the Surya mutter, and Surya would be mutter, because maybe he's selling other vegetables that weren't grown in that particular vineyard. Maybe it's just the same kind of vegetables, but yeah. Over chutz la'aretz, yored v'loiket, whereas in chutz la'aretz, there's even more of a kula, that there, again, you can see him going and then picking the vegetables, over vanshala, yokut b'yad, as long as the yid himself doesn't pick the vegetables. So therefore, in other words, that we see, So Ullah says that we're telling you that. So if we're saying that Kilayim, we said, is only Medina Sofim. If we're saying that Ola Hilchasa is only Hilchas Medina, is something that the Jewish people were knowing themselves, or something that the Chachamim imposed, or whatever, then fine, you can say that's why both Ola and Kilaya Kerem are more lenient in Chutz La'aretz. Or no, the other way around. Well, actually, Ullah is saying, I hold that Orla is also a halacha l'moshe Sinai. Therefore, by Orla, you have a little bit of a heter, where by Orla, as long as you don't see the goy picking from the tree, even though, again, you know that there's a tree in there that has Orla on it, then you're allowed to. But we see, in other words, there's more of a chumra on Suffolk Orla than there is on Suffolk Kilayim, because by Suffolk Kilayim, we're saying you yourself, you just can't pick them by hand yourself, but you can watch the goy picking it. But if you're telling me, but according to you, that both Orla and Kilayim Kerem are only a matter of Dirabbanan or a Minig or whatever, Nisni Oy Zev Zeyerd Velakeach, Oy Zev Zeyerd Velakeach. So why in the one case is it that you can only buy from him, but you can't? But you can't watch him picking, and the other one was saying you can even watch him picking. You can't just pick. You can't pick it yourself. Why are we being inconsistent like that? And the answer is Hamalei Shmuel Ravonin. Tony Oizev is a Yerd v'Lakeach. Oizev is a Yerd v'Loiket. As a matter of fact, yes, Shmuel tells Ravonin you have to correct the wording of one or the other of those Mishnayos. Either they should both say Yerd v'Lakeach, that with both of them you're not allowed to watch him picking, but you're allowed to buy from him after it's picked. Or Zev Zeyerd Veloiket, or learn that both Mishnayos say that you're allowed to watch him picking, you're just not allowed to pick it yourself, and then that removes the inconsistency. So that explains Shmuel's opinion that they're both only Midrabban. And in fact, Ma'abred Rabbana, Masni de Lakula, in fact, Ma'abred Rabbana says that both of them should be Lakula. Zev Zeyerd Veloiket, in both Mishnayos, it should say that he's allowed to pick. Over Vajla Yoka Biyad, the Yid himself is not allowed to pick the vegetables or to pick the fruit, but he's allowed to watch it being picked. Because, like Shmuel said, the whole thing with Kilayim is only Medivre Seferim, and Orla is Halocha, which means Hilchasa Medina, and therefore for that reason, Ma'abre de Rabbana holds that you can be Makel in both of them.
Well, again, Orla is.
So we said Orla is because of Halacha in Chutz La'aretz. So what does Halacha mean? Does it mean Halacha Moshe Mesinai, which is how Ullah held, or does it mean Hilchas Medina, which is how Shmuel held? If we hold that it's Hilchas Medina, then therefore we can go Lakula, and in both cases you would in fact be allowed to watch the goy pick and to tell him to pick and to watch him pick. You're just not allowed to pick it yourself. So, But we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, and we'll see, is that in fact the case that Orla doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael? So we'll get back to that. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow.
So right now
we're saying America. Orla in America, then on the face of it, so far, what we're saying, according to Shmuel, it would be also only Mihilchus Medina, only Medirei Sofer. So therefore, if you yourself, you a Yid, have a tree that's Orla, you wouldn't be allowed to pick the fruit from it and eat it. But if a Goy has an orchard, you don't have to worry that maybe some of the fruits in an Orla, you would be able to, as long as you don't know that's Vade Orla, you would be able to, you'd be able to have him sell you fruit and even you watch him picking it off the trees. And as long as the tree itself is only Sopik Orla, then you're fine.
Yeah, but if you said before that,
if you know for sure there's one tree, then you might have a problem with it. But that's what we're saying so far. But again, we're going to continue discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we're going to talk about what in fact is the story with the issue of Orla and Chutzlar, to what extent does it apply and where and when and where does it apply.